Good afternoon. I'm Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this fourth Sunday of Advent, Year B. Our readings today, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 to 11 and verse 16, Psalm 89, verses 1 to 26, Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 16, verses 25 to 27, and the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Let us pray. The Lord is here, and we will praise him. The Lord is here, and we will worship him. The Lord is here, and we will trust him. The Lord is here, and we will honor him. The Lord is here, and he has called us to give him all the glory. Amen. Lord, we do not come as guests, but as members of your family. We do not come in fear, but with joy and thanksgiving. We do not come alone, but with all your people, of every age and in every place. Lord, we come as your family, for you are our Heavenly Father, and Christ is our brother, our Savior, and Lord. Amen. Lord, you are the High and the Holy One, but you dwell in the hearts of those who love you. Lord, you are sovereign over all things, yet you wait for Mary and her yes of faith. We pray that the worship we offer and the words we use will open our hearts and minds to your will. We pray that we may be filled with your love. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. We have the hymn, The Angel Gabriel Came from Heaven, CPWI 765.
Thank you.
We pray the collect for the fourth Sunday in Advent, followed by our parish prayer. Let us pray. Purify our conscience, Almighty God, by your daily visitation, that your Son Jesus Christ, at his coming, may find in us a mansion prepared for himself, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Gracious God, you sent your only Son Jesus to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness, all to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, God of the Impossible. God of the Impossible. The Gospel of Luke begins with two significant events. That is, two angelic announcements of coming births. Both events are in themselves remarkable. In the first annunciation, the angel Gabriel appeared to the priest Zechariah and announces that his wife Elizabeth, who is barren and beyond normal childbearing years, will conceive and bear a son, whom she will name John. The angel announces that he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. Luke chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. A remarkable event indeed, but not impossible with the awesome God who created the universe and said to the prophet Isaiah, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my purpose shall stand and I will fulfill my intentions." Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. In the second annunciation, which is our gospel today, the angel Gabriel is sent to Nazareth, a small, insignificant village located on the outskirts of Jewish society, and more insignificant in the context of the great Roman Empire. Can anything good come from Nazareth? In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel is sent to Mary, a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. Luke chapter 1, verse 27a. Mary is young, and she has never engaged in sexual relations with a man. The angel greets Mary. "Greeting, favored one, the Lord is with you." Luke chapter 1, verse 28. Mary has been chosen by God for a very special task in God's redemption of humankind and God's final attempt to restore Israel. The angel Gabriel outlines Mary's task for her. He says, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Luke chapter 1, verses 30 to 33. Mary is perplexed by the words of the angel. The angel is speaking about events which, as far as she was concerned, were impossible. She responds, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" Verse 34. How can she be a mother when she is still a virgin? How can she be the mother of the Messiah, the Son of God, while she is still a virgin? As far as Mary is concerned, that is impossible. The angel Gabriel explained how this event will take place. The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God." Luke chapter 1, verse 35. The angel is describing something that has never happened before, an event that still seems impossible to Mary. The angel tries to assure Mary that God can do things that may seem impossible to us. The angel continues, "And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren." Verse 38. If God can open the womb of someone who was considered barren and who has passed her childbearing years, can God do this impossible thing? Not only for you, Mary, but for the world? The angel Gabriel assures her, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Nothing will be impossible with God, whose spirit moved over the chaotic waters at the beginning of creation. Genesis 1, verse 2. And who spoke the word that brought creation into being. The same Spirit will come upon Mary, and the power of God will bring into being the child who will be called the Son of God, born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. John chapter 1, verse 13. Mary comes to the conclusion that if this is God's will, the God of the impossible will do this. Acknowledging that she is indeed favored by God, with humility and without concern for herself and indeed her reputation, she responds in obedience to the will of God. She says to the angel, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Luke chapter 1, verse 38a. Mary understood that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. She realized that God was able to do what God said God would do, even if it seemed impossible to humankind. The God who sent his messenger, the angel Gabriel, was always able to do what God set out to do, even if it seemed impossible for us. God created the universe with order and beauty and provided humankind with all that was necessary for a productive, fulfilling, rewarding existence. The God of the impossible chose Abram, a righteous man, to be the father of a great nation, even though Abram was an old man and his wife Sarai was past her childbearing years. Many, even Sarai, thought that was impossible, But nothing will be impossible with God. God promised the descendants of Abraham the land of Canaan, the most fertile land in the then known world. There were nations, powerful nations, living on that land, but the God of the impossible enabled the military, weaker tribes of Israel to enter and possess the land. After God, through Moses, achieved the impossible task of liberating them from slavery in Egypt and enabling them to survive 40 years in the desert. An impossible task. Nothing is impossible with God. The God of the impossible, who promised David, "I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12b and 13. The God of the impossible could influence the future to make a promise to David that only God could fulfill. He said, "Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16. God is committing God's self to the Davidic line and is establishing a royal dynasty. The God of the impossible declares that from now on and forever, one of David's descendants will rule as king over God's people. God fulfilled God's promise by making the first of the kings, David's son Solomon, and the last and final king of kings will be Jesus, the Messiah, who was born of David's line. Do we, in our day, acknowledge God as the God of the impossible? Do we believe that God is always able to do what God says God will do, even though in our limited understanding seems impossible? If we believe in the God of the impossible, then we can have hope for the future, because notwithstanding how dark the future may seem, how impossible the situation may be, God is able to act to fulfill God's purpose. In the face of our knowledge of God, the God of the impossible, we are called to trust God. God is faithful. God is true. God loves us and desires not only to have a relationship with us, but to give us the gift of eternal life. Some, like Mary, may say, "How can this be?" We have the response of the angel Gabriel, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Amen. Let us pray. Proclaim the greatness of the Lord. Rejoice in God our Savior. God Most High, you overshadow us with the power of your Holy Spirit. Bring to birth the promise of your hope in lives of holiness and grace. Give to your church courage to be servants of your will. Proclaim the greatness of the Lord. Rejoice in God our Savior. God Most High, you set before leaders a vision of justice and peace. Guide them in ordering the common good for the benefit of all. Bring to light the signs of your dawning kingdom. Proclaim the greatness of the Lord. Rejoice in God our Savior. God Most High, with you nothing is impossible. Hear the cry of all whose hearts ache at being childless. Bring to fruition our creative love and longing. Proclaim the greatness of the Lord. Rejoice in God our Savior. God Most High, your favor rests on the lowly and move to bless our bodies. Restore within our frailty the image of your love. Give rest, refreshment, and hope to all who seek your healing grace. Proclaim the greatness of the Lord. Rejoice in God our Savior. God Most High, you announce salvation in the midst of all mortality. Remove our fears at the hour of our death. We will rejoice and sing of your enduring love. Proclaim the greatness of the Lord. Rejoice in God our Savior. As our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. Then we have the hymn, Hark, a Herald Voice is Calling. CPWI 41. Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing we do your will. And in that service of God, we pray that you will continue to make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us so love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. where there was despair, hope, where there was darkness, light, and where there was sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And may Almighty God, by whose providence our Savior Christ came among us in great humility, sanctify you with the light of his blessing, and set you free from all sin. May he whose second coming in power and great glory we await, make you steadfast in faith, joyful in hope, and constant in love. May you who rejoice in the first advent of our Redeemer, at his second advent be rewarded with unending life, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. And may you have a very holy and happy Christmas, and may the joy, peace, and love of Christmas remain with you and your families throughout this very special season and in the year 2024. We leave you with the hymn, Rejoice, the Lord is King.